Well, thank you, team, and thank you, Lord, for your grace that you come. I'm a bit of a mess right now. It's nice to be wrecked by God, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Well, if we can have that PowerPoint up, that would be fabulous. Thank you very much. That would be helpful. I just want to... why are we there? That's interesting. Let's go back. We're going to get there in a second. What I'm going to do is just want to start by recapping where we've come from. So 2 weeks ago, what was our topic? Who was our topic?
Jesus.
All right, somebody was listening. Thank you. And why? Why did we start with Jesus? It's all about him. It's all about him. He is our center, our Rosetta Stone. I love that phrase. He's everything. Rests in him. Then, what did we do? The following week, the Holy Spirit, the promised one, the one that we've been promised, right now, today, his presence with us. So who does that leave us? Where are we going this week? God the Father. Oh, there's some clever people here today. So there we go. There was week one, and week two, yes, that is correct. The promise is for you and your children. That's where we focused on last week, understanding that the promise has been given. We have the promise of the presence of God. And so this week, we are doing God the Father. I think it was Moses that cried out, God, show me your face. This is repeated in one sense in our passage this morning by Philip, who says, show me the Father. I think it's a reasonable request. Why? Because we want to know our Creator. In fact, it's not just a reasonable request. It's a good thing to ask. Lord, I want to know more of you. Show me who you are. And I think at one level it should be the cry of all our hearts. So let's look at that passage this morning. Gail Fire, would you come? Kia ora, and would you read to us this morning? I'll get you a microphone. Bless you.
Okay, is it working? Hoane te kaumawha, waru iwa me te kau. Ka mea a perepe ki aia. E te ariki, whakakitia te matua ki a mātou, a ka tātu o mātou ngākau. Ka mea a ihu ki aia, roa noa atu tōku noho ki a koutou. A ka hori anu koi i mātou noa ki ahau i peripi? Ka ia kua kite, i ahau kua kite hoki i te matua. He aha koi, ka mea ai, whakakitia mai te matua ki a mātou. E kori ai anei koi te e whakapono, ko ahau ke roto i te matua? Ko te matua ke roto i ahau? Ko ngā kupu e korero ne ahau ki a koutou e hara e te korero naku ake. Engari, nā te matua e noho ana i roto i ahau. Koia te mea ana i ngā mahi. Hoane te kouma whā, waru iwa me te kou.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for proclaiming the word of God. So good. Let's pray. Thank you, God. God, as we talk about who you are this morning, we don't just want to present our human ideas, Lord. We want to talk about you as you've presented yourself through the word and by your spirit. May we know more of you today. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to do something a little different. I don't want anybody to leave the room for the next 5 minutes, because if you do, you're going to get a really bad concept of who God is. So here you go. Here it comes. Woe to you! Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why? Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man had fled from a lion, only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand against the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch black, without a ray of brightness? I hate, I despise your religious feasts. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with your noise and songs. I will not listen to your music of harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings? 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel. You have lifted up the shrines of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. Who can ascend the mountain of God? None who is holy. You can't. You can't come up here. You can't. How can you approach a God who is holy? You'd be destroyed. You'd be consumed. Is this the God that you know? Is this the God who is far off? Or is it another God you know? Is it this God? Oh, Jesus. He's lovely. Oh, he just loves to sit with his people. Oh, Chris, my son Chris, how are you, man? It's good.
I'll have to move over to make room.
You do? Oh, Jesus, he's so kind and he's so lovely. He gives lollies to children. He's just beautiful. Is this the God that we know? I think sometimes our concept of God, we set up this dichotomy. We make God the Father this distant, narcissistic person, all about himself. And we make Jesus this boyfriend. Jesus is a phrase that some people have turned. Oh, you know, he's just so close. I want to suggest this morning that he's neither and yet he's both. He's not schizophrenic, don't get me wrong. John 14:7-10 tells us, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. This is where I want us to know who God the Father is this morning. The same God who Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father, is the same God who the psalmist speaks of as being slow to anger. Phil, great words that you picked this morning as we worship this morning. Slow to anger and abounding in love. Let me show you just how gentle and loving the Father is. I had this passage here. I know it's difficult to see, but I wanted to put it into one. And I'd started to highlight, I don't know if you could see that, but I started to highlight all the good things. And in the end, I just thought, you know what, that's ridiculous. I need to read it all. Okay? So I'm going to read it to you. I'll move that before it falls off. If you'd like to follow along, it's Psalm 103. It's between Psalm 102 and Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. For those who fear him, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father who has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. That's our God. That's our God, not a distant God. This is but one psalm, another 11. I mean, you just go through the psalms. It's there everywhere. It's incredible. Great is the works of the Lord. Gracious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. Gracious and compassionate, remembers his covenant forever. Faithful and just, his precepts are trustworthy. Faithfulness and uprightness, redemption for his people, holy, holy and awesome. This is our God. Holy. When we think of holy, we can be mistaken that somehow God will be soiled by sin, that somehow sin will make God unholy. I think the reality is quite the opposite. You see, when darkness encounters light, it is the darkness that dissipates. You and I come with our brokenness, our darkness. Let's call it what it is, with our sin. And God comes and he transforms us. He brings light where there was once darkness. Amen. Yeah. This is not to say, when we talk about our God, that he's like a big teddy bear. You know, we can have this picture of God, perhaps, that goes too far, that makes him so approachable. Don't get me wrong, he's approachable. He calls us, he draws us. But I think C.S. Lewis puts it really well in one of the Narnia stories, where he says, he reminds us that Aslan is still a lion. Our God is still God. He is holy. That holiness is like a consuming fire. But here's the promise. It doesn't consume us. It consumes the sin and makes us whole. That's our God. He's incredible. He's so gracious. So good. So, I like to describe it this way, that God has two hands. A hand of grace and a hand of justice. You see, it was Jesus who sat at in the temple. And intentionally, you could picture it. There's all this market stuff going on. He sits there. And how long does it take to plait a whip? He plaited a whip with intention and a plan. And when he'd finished, he went amongst the people and he drove them out. Why? Because they were creating, I believe, a barrier between the Father and those that wanted to draw near. God will do anything to create a path for us, a way for us. So again, we have this picture of a soft, loving Jesus and this firm, hard God the Father. No, there is no confusion between the two. They are for justice and righteousness, but infused with grace. The work of the Father does not and is not separated from the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's Jesus that will judge the living and the dead. Again, we think of this God that will be this terrible judge at the end of time. Actually, it's Christ. Scripture tells us it's Christ that will judge the living and the dead. There is no confusion between the Father and the Son. They are one. To see this, I think creation is a great model. See, in creation, in Genesis 1, God said, or in some of the older traditional Bible, the use of God spoke. I love that. He spoke, and the earth was created. John 1 tells us that Jesus was there. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus was at creation, creating. The Holy Spirit, again, we go back to Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit was present, hovering over the water. The Spirit was there, sustaining life. Our God is one. There is no confusion between the persons of the Trinity. There are some things in Scripture that I find hard to reconcile. As believers, somehow we need to be prepared to wrestle with the hard questions, and yet sometimes we need to accept that it is a mystery. We're talking right now about God, and we are using human language to do this. Let's not presume to think we've got it all nailed down. We so haven't. But I think there are times that we need to perhaps not be lazy, that we just say, I can't figure that out. No, there is a time to actually dig deep into the Scriptures, wrestle with what we see and seek to understand through prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think the cross is one of those events. I think it was known by all persons of the Trinity. Yes, the Father was not on the cross, and it was not his hands that were ripped by nails. What the Father knew as he stood and watched his Son crucified was absolute anguish as he watched his Son pay the price for our sins. This pain was known as only a parent could know, watching helplessly as your child suffered. Jesus didn't experience that. The Father experienced that. And as any parent knows, when you watch your child suffer, it's excruciating. You feel helpless. What can I do? But the Father allowed this. And there was a time, because of a robust understanding of the Trinity, that I thought, man, God the Father, that's... what a nasty Father that would allow this to happen. But when we understand that this was a plan, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit brought together in unity, it allows us to understand that God was at work in ways that we struggle to understand. But we need to accept that He is God. He is God. The Son, he experienced the cross in a way that the Father did not. He had the sins of the world placed upon him, and he experienced abandonment. The Father has not experienced that, but the Son has. The grace that Christ took and gave to us by taking that place. The Holy Spirit also experienced this situation. The cross was not just Christ. The Holy Spirit, for a moment of time, for the first time in the Trinity's history, allowed separation to occur. My Father, why have you abandoned me? For the first time, the Holy Spirit was not mediating between the Father and the Son in that intimate relationship. They did this for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whom shall ever believe will not perish but have eternal life. God did that. He allowed his very knowing of each other, their very relationship, to be ruptured for us. It's astounding. But God being God, he brings all things together. And right now we have the Son sitting with the Father in perfect unity, with the Spirit mediating between them and with us. Incredible. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, says Christ. If we want to know who the Father is, we only have to look at Christ. So, 3 weeks. 3 weeks we've done. Jesus, the Spirit, and the Father. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, our Lord is one. Our Lord is one. Text of Deuteronomy, which Christ speaks again, declaring again the words of the Father. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength, because our Lord, our God, he is one. I've done this intentionally these last 3 weeks, having come in here. I've been sharing with the elders and with the search team right from the beginning. If I was to come and to minister here, what would I be speaking to? There is an expectation that as a pastor, you will lead a church. So my job is to declare what the vision of God is for this place. No, actually, I don't believe that's my primary role. I believe my primary role is to equip you to hear the voice of God, to affirm how the voice of God is speaking. But to do that, and we're going to be doing that next week, I get to unpack where that starts, where we're going to head. It's exciting because it's not just me speaking. There's lots of you that are going to be speaking into this conversation as together we discern how to hear the voice of God, and then together we discern, have we heard the voice of God? And then together we hold each other accountable to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. But to do that, to know the voice of God, we have to first, I think, know God. And so that's why these last 3 weeks we have been considering, who is our Lord? Who is our God? If you're visiting here today, and I kind of feel like a visitor all the time myself here at the moment, because I don't know if you're here first time, second time, 10th time, 100th time. If you're a visitor, I pray that you would know that you are loved by God, a God who is not distant, a God who is present, not a weak God, not a narcissistic God, not a God that has no feelings. That picture that I put up of God sitting there with his bald head, I know some of you feel that's godly, but this Greco-Roman picture of what a God is, no. It says that God the Father is spirit. He's without form, which is why within our church tradition we don't allow images of God. You who have seen Jesus have seen the Father. Jesus is kind. He's loving, slow to anger, abounding in grace. Wherever you are today, whether you're a visitor, whether you've been here 100 times, know that you are loved by God. Loved by God the Father. Loved by Jesus the Son. Loved by the Holy Spirit. And he extends to you his never-failing love. So if you've walked with Jesus for many years, or you're just beginning to process what that might look like, know that he desires to draw near to you as we draw near to him. And so I'm just going to pray, because I want to use this opportunity, Lord, to not just talk about you. You're not this abstract concept that we have out there. God, you are here this morning by your choice. You are present. Present, Lord. And God, these words that I've spoken this morning, they only have meaning, they only have life, if they are breathed by your Spirit. Lord Jesus, right now, for every person here, may they know the love of the Father. May they know the sacrifice that Jesus has made so that we can draw into close relationship. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. May we each know what it is to have your presence with us. Amen. I would like to let you know that there is a tradition in this church, I think it's wonderful, that over this side of the church, every Sunday, there are one or two people sitting, available to pray with you. You know, we get to touch on some pretty big things. God's pretty big. If you would like to continue that conversation and have somebody pray into an area that you're asking God for freedom, that you are asking to understand who you are, God, they would love to be able to pray with you. We see it as a massive privilege. So please be aware of that. Come and together let's talk with God. And I knew that I didn't put that last slide on. There's this fantastic benediction that captures a Trinitarian nature of God. But it's all right, because Phil's coming up now. And I wanted to end this time with us returning to that song that we just sung about God the Father. And I want us to really just be aware that he's speaking. He's speaking to us. Thanks, Phil. And then I'll come back up and I'll read that benediction out of my book.
Do you want to stand and sing it with us this time?
Thank you.
God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless you. Have a great week. Know that there is tea and coffee out there. There's even people that you can talk to. Have a great week, guys. Bless you.